We've been talking about forgiveness since the 31st of January. Forgiveness is really extremely important. It's the essence of the gospel. Jesus reminds us, how often you forgive? Peter thought maybe seven times, and Jesus says 70 times, seven times. And yet this forgiveness is so very difficult and so often misunderstood. So first of all, we took a look at what forgiveness is not. We said that forgiveness does not mean we forget what was done. It doesn't mean that at all. We remember very well, but we remember a different kind of way. Forgiveness does not mean we condone what was done and say it was all right, because it was not all right. Forgiveness does not mean we absolve the person, like we say they're not responsible or accountable for their actions, because we're always accountable for our actions. And also we saw that forgiveness is not an act of the will. I believe it's impossible for us to forgive by an act of the will. Have you ever tried real hard to forgive? I forgive you. What's still going on inside? It's not an act of the will, but it's a gift that comes from the process of forgiveness. And as a gift from God, as we go through the process and healing takes place, forgiveness happens. We saw the first step in this process is to see very clearly what was done. And often it's very, very ugly when we look very clearly and see what was done. That was terrible. Terrible. And just as important is to look to see who was it that did it. And this sometimes is harder to face than the abuse itself. Because oftentimes it's somebody that's very trusted, like a parent or a teacher or a priest. It makes it so very hard. And after we've seen this, we have to take a look at the consequences. What has happened to my life as a result of this? And face those kinds of things. To face the hate that this has engendered inside of me. Hatred. Not only for other people, but even worse, more deadly, hatred for ourselves. We need to look at the anger that is caused in us. How much rage we have inside of us that boils there because of it. And the addictive behavior we've gotten into as a result of the hole that is left. How much trouble that has caused ourselves and other people. And the abuse that we do to other people, which is largely caused by the things that are done to us. And the depression. Depression is one of the very common results of being hurt, especially when we're hurt very young. And depression, which causes so much trouble, makes life so difficult. And then the relationships. How many relationships have you screwed up in your life? Even the ones that go pretty good are pretty bad. Relationships are very hard. And it's the abusive kinds of things that makes them so difficult, so we have to look at that. So the consequences of what has happened are really devastating. We have to face that. And after we face that, we come to the second stage, which is the blame we have. We blame ourselves for things. It's very common, especially when it's children that are abused. We don't blame other people, don't blame the abuser, we blame ourselves. Blame ourselves. It's not logical, but it's what happens. And from that, we saw the blame comes the guilt and shame. Some of the guilts and shames are healthy, and some are not. Then we come to the next stage, which is realizing we're a victim. I really and truly was victimized, and we have to face that bitter fact. We're victimized, which makes us feel sorry for ourselves, like we're isolated and nobody understands, there's lots of anger. And then we start to tend to identify ourselves as victims. True, I was victimized, but I am not a victim. I'm more than that. But we tend to identify, and all we can think of is, I am a victim. So it's so easy to get stuck in that. And that's devastating when we get stuck in that, the victim stage. We just kind of dig deeper and deeper and deeper. We saw the helps to get out of that. After we come to the blame and the guilt and the victim, Then we have to start to look at the anger stage, which we're going to look at today. The anger stage. There's two different kinds of anger. One kind of anger is repressed and put inside of us, and pushed down. The other kind of anger is outside, externalizes itself. When we repress our anger and hold it in, many different things happen. At first, usually we repress it kind of consciously, and we don't show the anger because it's too dangerous or difficult or scared, whatever it's going to be. And then it becomes kind of automatic. We don't even realize the anger is there. The anger is there deep, and it boils and rages, and sometimes we don't even know that it's there. This causes many problems, health problems, not only ulcers. This devastates the immune system. When the immune system is devastated, we're open to just about anything. Actually, this repressed anger also makes intimacy difficult, if not impossible. If I'm in a relationship with you, there's lots of anger building up, and it's stuffed and stuffed and stuffed. This builds a wall between me and you, and intimacy and closeness becomes impossible. If we're going to be close to somebody, we have to be able to get mad at each other. Because there are all these kinds of things in life which we're mad about. You know, there's going to be this kind of stuff. We have to learn how to do it in a good kind of way. Unless we learn to deal with the anger, intimacy will not happen. And also, this is true with God. Intimacy with God becomes difficult or impossible too. Because we're mad at God. Because oftentimes we don't even realize the anger is there. Oftentimes this comes from things which happened to us when we were very, very young, the way we were taught. There's a repressed anger with God. And we don't trust God. We can't get close to God. We don't want to be close to God. And so pushing all the anger down inside is not a very good thing to do. There's also anger which is active. And the active anger, some of it's unhealthy and some of it's healthy. And the unhealthy anger, we're just angry at everybody. It's not focused. It doesn't do any kind of good. We're just mad at everybody. Whoever has to be close gets it. Also, this kind of unhealthy anger seeks revenge. I'm going to get that so-and-so for what they did. And we've all felt that, you know. I'm going to get them. We can think of wonderful ways we can get them. We can string them up and torture them and poke out their eyes. You know. Hard to imagine, oh boy, can we really get them? We want revenge. This unfocused kind of anger like this doesn't really help anything. So this anger which is active, which is unfocused about, and seeks revenge and just hit anybody who happens to be close. But anger of itself is a healthy kind of thing. You see, the anger, what it can do, it can give us strength and energy and power to do things, to change things. It can help us to get on with our life and to go through the very difficult process of healing which is there. That takes a lot of energy and takes a lot of courage. And anger, when it's directed in this kind of way, can give us the strength to do it. Anger is a gift from God. It often gets distorted. Maybe most of the time it gets distorted, but it is a gift from God. There needs to be anger which is healthy, which is directed, and gives us the strength to do things which are constructive in our lives and the lives of other people. We've taken some looks at helps with anger. There's kind of a superficial help which is done, which is we get a cushion or a pillow or a bed and we pound the whatever out of it. That's okay. Or scream and yell. I do it in the car. Boy, can I give it. It's nice in the car, you know, nobody's around, nobody can hear me, I don't get in any trouble, nobody thinks I'm nuts. And you hear somebody doing that, you know, call the green, the white coats. But these are limited kinds of things. They have some limited kind of value than the venting which is there. But we really need to go deeper than this. We get angry because we're threatened. There's three different areas of being threatened. One is need for control. When my need for control gets threatened, I'm mad. the need I have to make other people do what I want and be the way I want, and everything in life should go the way I want it to go. So we're mad all the time, because there's a million things we can't control. And so when we have this need for control, unless we get underneath that, anger is going to be there. So let's ask ourselves, just be aware. Why am I mad? Why am I mad? We won't catch on right away. We won't catch on right away. The need for control. Anybody here like to control anybody else? In all marriages, all friendships, all business relationships, there's a lot of control issues. And they mess everything up. Another thing that's threatened is our need for approval. We're not going to get approved of all the time. We have this need for approval, which is very strong. We get criticized, we get mad. You didn't like me. You didn't like me. The mad may be very strong and out, or maybe kind of internalized. The need for approval comes because there's a hole inside of us from the hurts we have and the things that have happened that makes us feel empty and no good. We're not worthwhile. And that's why we have such a need for people to approve and approve and approve. And of course, that doesn't happen. So we get mad. Anybody need approval? We all need some of it. But the strange thing is, if we get a lot of this when we're little, we don't need so much when we're older. If we don't get it when we're young, we crave it when we're older. There's another one too, and that's the need for security to be safe. Because when that need for security gets threatened, we get mad. The need for security, again, which our basic trust has been broken. When our basic trust has been broken, we always seek what is safe. We don't take any risks. We don't take any chances. When that need for security gets threatened, we get mad. We get mad. This is the anger stage. Anger stage. We gotta go through it. And we won't do it terribly well. We gotta do it. Remember, the anger is a friend. Is a friend. When it leaves us and gives us the courage and the energy and the strength to do constructive things. And in this is the courage and the strength to take the process, to go through the pain and the hurt, the bitterness, and all the things which we need to do so our souls can be healed. We can pray about this. So just sit back and relax. And keep your back straight. And breathe slowly and deeply. Slowly and deeply. And just be aware of the breathing. Don't judge it, don't evaluate it. Be aware of the feelings that are there. Feelings of anger, hatred, bitterness, revenge, sadness. Let's not do anything about them. Not judge them. Say they should be there, should not be there. Just be aware that they're present. And let those feelings fall away. We're surrounded by love, the love we name God. That love holds us, embraces us, cradles us, looks at us tenderly and with compassion. That love lives deep within our souls and bubbles up with powerful giving energy. That love we name God is our friend, our healer. It nourishes us. It longs for us to open our hearts and our soul and our spirits for the love wants to make us well, wants to heal the wounds and the sins and the hurts. Let us allow that love to enter in. And not to love what to do, but trust the love that will only seek what is truly good for us. Gracious love, the journey toward forgiveness is so high, and anger is such a problem, such a difficult thing. Sometimes I'm afraid of that anger, or ashamed and embarrassed to show it. Sometimes that anger lashes out and hurts people and pushes people away. Help me to face my anger, to see it. Help my anger to become healed and whole. And the need that I have to control people, help me to let that go. And when I control and smother people, I push them away. It makes me more isolated, more alone, more empty. Help me let go of control. And the need I have for approval, it becomes so important that everybody like me and praise me. I think I'm wonderful. I'm doing a magnificent job. Feel that deep emptiness in my soul that makes me crave that approval. Help me to know that in spite of all the sins and faults and mistakes, I am beautiful and good. My need to be safe and to be secure, the trust that was broken inside of me, it makes it so hard to trust and be optimistic. And so I crawl within my shell and take no chances and take no risks, because I don't want to ever be hurt again. Heal that wound. Gracious love, I place my whole being in your loving hands. I give you my heart and my soul. Work in me any way you choose, for I trust you.